Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters. My name is Christian Redshaw, and joining me, as always, is my great and powerful co-host, Mr. Dominic Vogel. Dominic, who do we have in the virtual hot seat today? Because it's a virtual episode, given the circumstances.
Absolutely. Today we have Heather Monahan, and we're just incredibly pumped to have her on the show. She is an online superstar. She has, I think, a top 100 podcast.
Yep.
She's one of the top 100 podcasts in the world. We'll be talking to her live from Miami, Florida. And we're just super excited to have her on the show.
Yeah, stoked. So let's get to it. Let's bring Heather on, and we'll be right back.
Heather, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with Christian and I today. We are super excited to have you, and pretty sure I can safely say you're the biggest superstar we've had on our podcast to date. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
One of the things I'd love to start off with, and I've been following you on LinkedIn for quite a long time. I always appreciate the positivity and confidence in which you post things. I find them very inspirational and definitely very timely. I'd love to, if you could maybe just reset really quickly, sort of your narrative right now for our viewers.
Sure. So a lot of what I talk about is overcoming adversity and the importance of creating confidence within yourself in any situation, and how when you are approaching things from a confident place, uncertainty isn't so challenging.
So I had a chance to listen to your podcast, and by the way, what an awesome podcast, and what an awesome first guest to begin with, Gary Vee. He's somebody I followed for many years. So congratulations on the success of your podcast. But for the story you've probably told thousands of times, can you just give a really short version of your background in the corporate world and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so for the last 20 plus years, I was in corporate America, most recently a chief revenue officer. And after getting promoted multiple times and having doubled the company's revenue, I was named one of the most influential women in radio in 2017. And at that same time, the CEO I had worked for 14 years became ill. He elevated his daughter to replace him, and she fired me immediately. And that's when I went out on my own.
It's funny because both Christian and I came from a corporate world as well. And, you know, I always envisioned myself when I was starting early on in my career, I wanted to be in charge of a cybersecurity team. And I ended up getting to that pinnacle. And it was funny, which something I'd worked for so long, I ended up feeling very unfulfilled doing that. And the past 5 years in which we've been on our sort of journey right now, and this notion of self-discovery as well, you know, we have found sort of our entrepreneurial spirit. And it was really interesting the fact that so people like yourself who are willing to share sort of their journey of how they've gone from corporate to even greater success in the entrepreneurial world, we find that very inspirational. So that's awesome that you're able to use platforms like LinkedIn to share that. Are there certain platforms that you find to be more relevant or useful? Like, do you find LinkedIn to be better, or Instagram or Facebook? I'm curious to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, personally, for me, LinkedIn and Instagram are definitely my two favorite platforms. LinkedIn specifically, because my expertise is really around business, sales, and leadership. And so I like being around like-minded people that are interested in business topics. Instagram's a little bit different. It's definitely leans more towards the social atmosphere, where you're going, who you're hanging out with. You know, there's a lot more of that population and that audience there. You know, I like both, but definitely my number one preference is LinkedIn.
Awesome. So getting back to your personal story, you talked about fear. Fear seems to come up in a lot of your conversations. Can you tell us what role that fear has played in your story and how you've personally overcome it?
Yeah, so for years, fear was a holdback, something that, you know, like many people, if I felt afraid, I would shy away from whatever that situation was and allow that to stop me or hold me back. What I've learned to do is now to see fear as a green light, as an indicator that I need to go and step into whatever the situation is. Most recently, I gave my first TEDx talk, and it was really stressful. There's a tremendous amount of non-professional speakers backstage, sweating, some people crying, some people doing push-ups, really insane environment and situation. And I started getting very stressed out, which I never do before I speak. So it was not a familiar situation for me. And I just remembered, you know, it's what I've trained myself to do. If I'm feeling afraid, means I need to take action and take action now, step into the fear. It's going to solve all the problems. And all I did was close my eyes right before I was going on stage. I was the first speaker. And I just said, if you don't go out there, you'll never forgive yourself. If you go out there and bomb, I'll be super proud of you for doing it. And I just walked out right into that fear. And in the end, they say either you own the talk or the talk owns you. And luckily, I own the talk, and the talk just got promoted to TED this week. So I'm super, super proud of that.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. Thanks. And I know that Christian was mentioning there that, you know, he's a huge fan of Gary Vee. And something which I love to know is Gary, as he is on camera, is he the same person off stage?
He's really, really intense, I guess is the best word that I would use. I was on Gary's podcast and Gary was on my podcast. So I've met with him a few different times. And he's got an amazing team of people, a huge team of people, primarily younger guys that are so cool. I love them. I really connected well and on a deeper level with them because they're kind of more accessible than he is. Gary is moving at such a fast speed that he's on a phone call right until the second he's about to go live on the show. Yeah. And he has maybe 60 seconds to talk to you. And he's very nice. You know, he's very much, hey, I heard about this or that. You know, he's very conversational, but then very driven and right back to work.
just as we imagined. Something which I'd really like to get your opinion on, you know, right now, given the whole situation with coronavirus and how that's affecting North America, small and mid-sized businesses are just being stretched to the limit. They're being put in all sorts of different situations that, you know, many of us couldn't have predicted. Now, given the fact that that's happening, I know something which you're a big proponent of is focusing on positivity. What are things that people can do from both a personal level and even from a work perspective to maintain that positive tone and to get us all through this collectively rather than descend into sort of that negative tone, which is very easy to do so in difficult times?
Well, from the personal standpoint, I'll start there first. You know, pulling on past experiences where you faced adversity and you were able to overcome it is really important. I've been talking a lot about that on social media during this time. Revisit those hard times. We've all had challenging moments in our life. Go back to that journal. Go back to that story. Revisit what it was really like, because I guarantee you there was moments of uncertainty, fear, and not knowing. And that's right where we are today. So once you can see that you've been able to transcend situations like that before, suddenly you feel a little bit more confident that this one, while, again, we're uncertain right now, we will come out on top. We will survive this. You know, and it's really stepping into that hopefulness and that faith that I've seen tough times before. For me, that was 08, 09. I was divorced with a one-year-old child. The company that I was the VP of sales for was panicking. We laid off a third of our workforce. Everyone had to take a pay cut. My condo that I own, everyone started defaulting in the building. They put an assessment on the remaining owners, which was me. So my pay was going down. My expenses were accelerating rapidly. This idea of panic was everywhere. It's not that dissimilar to what we're dealing with today. However, the conditions may be, right? There wasn't a virus, but there was this sense of people were killing themselves, jumping off of roofs. They had lost so much money and the stock market was in a free fall. So that sense of not knowing, back then I didn't have the experience that I have now. I've seen this movie before. Yes, the stock market might be dropping. It will rise again. And it will drop again. And it will rise again. It's cyclical. Back then, I didn't realize that because I was too young. I hadn't gone through any of these down cycles. So it almost puts you in so much of a better position mentally, physically, in every way to know, okay, I know the things I need to do. I need to work out every day. I need to eat healthy and sleep. Those are the keys. I need to invest in myself and look, where is business going? Where are opportunities? Not just today and tomorrow, but 6, 9, 12 months from now, 2 years from now, and start forecasting so I can start building a better strategy. How can I improve as a result of this? How can I improve my business as a result of this? I have more time now, so how can I maximize that time? How can I get rid of bad habits and add better habits? Reading is something I want to do more. Make a commitment. look at things in a 30 and 60 day window for right now. What steps can you take to put this time to work for you so you can emerge better from it? That's how I would approach it. And that's how I am approaching it personally. From a professional standpoint, right now, I think everyone should be really doubling down on LinkedIn. If you've thought about elevating your persona, your brand, or even creating and launching it, do it now. Now is the time, right? Because the one segment of the population that's really winning from this are people who have already developed online businesses. They're not going to be rattled by this, right? So it's thinking, okay, as a business professional, how can I become insulary to a situation like this moving forward? I'm adjusting my business. Speaking engagements were my number one revenue driver. Right. That's something that you have to be on site for. How can you pivot that and put it to work for you online? I'm learning that now. So I'm going to grow and evolve as a result of this so that we can protect ourselves from challenges like this moving forward. And it's not just the speaking business, it's any business. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a college kid and you're saying, how can I make money? I used to bartend. I can't bartend. Okay, well, maybe you can teach kids online how, maybe you can coach them in math class. Maybe you can start, you know, set something up on LinkedIn, reach out to parents that you know there are kids being homeschooled right now. Parents don't know how to do it. However, you're a college student that is, you know, majoring in math and you're going to hold an online course for $100 a week. You know, just think about what value you have, what expertise you have. We all have some, and you need to start marketing it. That doesn't cost anything and instead can make you some money. So it's really, you know, taking a step back, gaining that perspective. There's opportunity everywhere if people are willing to put their best foot forward and really own what their UVP is and put it to work for them.
Unique value proposition, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Your answer there, I find so empowering, you know, another concept, which I think would be intertwined with this, and again, love to get your opinion on this, is the fact that we're very much in a time period where empathy in business needs to become more at the front and center, moving away from just sort of that old profits over people mentality. And I think we're in a stage now where we're going to see those organizations that treated their people and treated their customers poorly during this time period, they're not going to survive. And those that put empathy first are going to be in a position to thrive. Love to know your thoughts on sort of where empathy in business stands and how important it is from, at least from this point in time moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, empathy and connection, trust, honesty, all these different things are critical in any culture, in any company. And yes, for, you know, there every company, or not every, more traditional based brick and mortar companies are going to be faced with tremendous adversity right now or opportunity. The ones that are really susceptible are the ones with those toxic environments where they haven't been empathetic of their people. Maybe they were completely against the idea of letting people work from home once in a while, so they don't have the setup. So now they're screwed because, and I have friends calling me, how can I work remotely right now? We've never done it. And it's so interesting to me because I was at a company like this before. You know, we can't have people, we don't want people operating remotely because it could be a deterrent to our business. That's how some traditional companies thought. And so these people just have zero setup right now, zero infrastructure to continue to do business. And it's almost like they're being penalized for their short-sighted thinking, which I find kind of comical. But, you know, that we see that happening. Now, those employees that were frustrated that, you know, Joe Boss never let them work Fridays from home, even though they wanted to, they warranted it, they should have been trusted. Now they're home because of COVID-19 for weeks on end, if not months. Guess what? Now they're going to be talking to the recruiters that are actively pursuing talented people. They're going to be partnering them with companies with great cultures who did create work from home environments, who did set their people up for success. And they're going to begin developing a rapport and relationship when that individual is sitting at home and that Joe Boss isn't within their bandwidth because they're not even communicating right now because they weren't close to begin with, right? So it all goes back to relationships and trust, positive environments, and treating people the way you want to be treated. And unfortunately, in corporate America, there's not a lot of companies, in my experience, that are really doing that. So the ones that are truly going to shine right now.
Yeah, it's really, that's a great answer. That's awesome. You know, maybe you can relate to this. Dominic and I left, you know, the corporate world many years ago, and now we're reaching back in from the outside to help our corporate clients. As an entrepreneur, you probably are in a similar situation. Can you talk about your experiences in corporate America? It can be really cutthroat and really narcissistic and self-centered, and all kinds of characters probably come to mind in your past. Can you talk about some of those cutthroat experiences, good or bad, and how you apply those lessons today?
Yeah. So, you know, the one that comes to mind is being fired by another woman. You know, it very rarely do women reach the C-suite, and then to actually get there and have another woman be the one that took me down is obviously a bit shocking and unfortunate. So what it taught me, though, is that having a negative person in your space, in your workspace, in your day-to-day, I tried to ignore it for a long time. And I just thought, you know what? She was a CFO. I was a CRO. I'm in charge of generating revenue. I'm going to lead my team. I'm going to keep, you know, delivering on my numbers. I'm going to ignore her. She was on the expense management side. We didn't need to deal with each other very much. What I learned is allowing a negative person into your space on any level will affect you in a very profound way, whether you're recognizing it or not. And over years of turning this blind eye, I was allowing this person to chip away at my confidence, to essentially allow me to become a B-rate, watered-down version of myself. And when I recognized that, which was not long before I got fired, I decided to rebuild my confidence. I decided to show up as a powerful version of myself. And luckily I did that. So when it ultimately occurred that she did fire me, I made a decision, a difficult decision in the moment when she slid two papers in front of me and said, sign one of these, one saying Heather Monahan's been fired, the other one saying, you know, Heather Monahan, this wonderful employee, we're so excited for her, BSBS, with a big check associated with that one. And along with the big check, the beautiful memo, you have to sign a gag clause that essentially says you will never make a disparaging comment about the company, your experience, or any employee of the organization. In that moment, I'd seen this movie so many times because I had been at that company for 14 years. People always take the check and the beautiful memo, of course. And I'm not, I get it, right? I wanted the check. She knew money drew, you know, drove me and not having
that. And it was a done deal in her mind probably, right? She thought she had you.
I'm certain. She was all smiles, you know, so she was so excited. And for me, luckily, I had been working on rebuilding my confidence behind the scenes, unbeknownst to her. And I slid both those papers right back to her. And I just thought to myself, I've been bullied by this lady long enough. And I smiled at her and I said, and I mean, I was fighting back my tears, but I thought, and I learned this when I was younger, there's no crying in baseball. It doesn't matter how upset you are in the moment, hang on to it till you can get a loan. And many times in corporate America, did I close doors and cry, and then I'd get myself back together and compose myself and go back to work. But I, at a young age, recognized that those people that would cry and get emotional in front of others were not treated with the same level of respect. So I've had some experience with this. You know, again, it wasn't my first rodeo. I stood in front of her. I was fighting back the tears, but I knew what I had to do. And I pushed those memos back to her and I said, I'm not signing either one of these. Didn't write either one. There's nothing else to say. I'm out of here. And I left. And then I got in the car and cried for three hours. Right. Yeah. So I was upset, but I was really proud of myself. And in that moment, I took a big leap towards creating further confidence within me. I doubled down on me. I walked from the sure thing. I walked from the money and I walked from letting someone bully me any longer. And that really was a catalyst to me taking off as an entrepreneur.
Good for you for valuing yourself like that and not prioritizing image and not having a price tag on yourself. That paves the way for good things to happen to you in the future, which obviously they have. So good job on that. And I do have another quick question. My thoughts are, I see everything that you're doing there. What's your mind on right now, primarily beyond this sort of coronavirus pandemic or pandemic?
It's epidemic. A pandemic, yeah.
Pandemic, yeah.
And what is the big future outlook for you? I'm curious to see where you're going next.
Yeah, it's changing rapidly, right? Because speaking has been my number one revenue driver. It's a massive opportunity. And like anything, I've started off as a rookie in this business, right? Because I come from corporate America. I come from sales leadership. I started a year and a half ago in the speaking business as a professional speaker, even though I'd spoken for 20 plus years in corporate America. It's different to start asking people to pay you. It's different to find an agent. It's different to build testimonial. You know, you're starting from ground zero. So starting over from nothing. It's taken a year and a half to build momentum, land the different speaker bureaus, get showcased and appear next to Bethany Frankel, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, these different large personalities that have 5 or 10 years experience ahead of me in this arena. So I was starting to build momentum. Things were really starting to pick up. And now every speaking engagement has been canceled.
Sure.
Everything has been shelved. My agent told me this is the worst window of time he's ever seen in his career, more so than 9/11, which was the last time he went through something similar. And when I asked for expectations on, okay, give me a window, what do you think it will be in regards to when do we get back to where we were 2 months ago? Which was, I could feel the momentum. I was about to explode. And he said, it could be a year. Okay. So that was obviously devastating. And I said, okay, I've got to pivot right now, because if it's going to be a year to get back to where I was, I've got to come up with another primary revenue stream. And luckily, and this is what always, number one, having multiple revenue streams for anyone and everyone, any business is critical to success or prolonged, you know, sustainable success. I know that from my past. And so I do have multiple projects and revenue streams. I'm always, I have an online course. I have a podcast. I have one book. I have written a second book. I wrote the book proposal 14 times. The 15th one got approved 1 month ago. This has been over a year. Okay.
Yeah.
I got approved by my agent 1 month ago. She went to market 1 month ago with the 15th version of my book proposal. She submitted it to 13 different publishing houses. I had a conference call today with my agent and a marquee publishing house who loves it. They're making an offer to me a week from today, and we have two offers we're sitting on. So really right now, knowing I can't go out anywhere and speak, it's about finding the right partner, taking that right deal, assessing who that right partnership is, and then figuring out next steps on planning out the strategy, refining, improving the actual second book, and getting that to market. The other piece is going to be, okay, the online world, and how do I maximize and leverage what I was doing previously on site, and how do I bring that to impact people online and monetize it for me and my company, which I have not. There's a lot of people doing really cheap versions of things out there. Like I keep seeing these mastermind this and, you know, this $99 class on this. I don't like, nor would I ever sign up for any of those, because I just don't see the value prop on it, or I see why someone would spend time on it. So if I'm going to do it, I want to do it in a unique and different way that's going to be guaranteed to add value, that's worth my time, that's worth the end user's time, that I want to be proud of, that I will be proud of, that will add value to my brand. So I'm really wrestling with, what does that look like? How can I do it differently? How can I do it better and, you know, and help people get to the next level during this time? And then, of course, my podcast, I interviewed Mark Manson yesterday, who's an amazing author. I have Amy Morin, who's an amazing therapist and author, coming on live with me next week to address some of the issues people are having. I'm going after every major guest in the world right now, because everyone's sitting at home, right? So it's like, how can we juggle these different things, leverage these opportunities, and create a better model?
That's terrific. And thank you so much, Heather, for sharing such amazing insight and wisdom. And you know, we went after a big superstar like yourself, so we're so grateful to get you on the podcast and for you to share such amazing stories. And we're really looking forward to just continually following your journey on LinkedIn. You're, like I said, you're very inspirational. So thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Christian and I will be right back momentarily to wrap things up on the show.
Awesome conversation with Heather. I particularly, because I know that her main revenue stream was her public speaking, although she's got so many other things. The thing that stood out to me is just her way of pivoting now and the resourcefulness that she's showing and that real entrepreneurial spirit to figure out ways to do that successfully online. in these conditions.
Absolutely. I was blown away with our conversation with her. You know, she provides such great insight in terms of being able to have a confident mindset, how to be able to maintain that positive mindset in difficult situations and during difficult situations. So it was just fantastic being able to hear her share her stories, her narrative. And like I said, I think it was just super cool to have someone of her stature on our show. That was pretty spectacular.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to talking to Heather again, hopefully soon. Yeah. So thanks for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv or our podcast on the Conversations That Matter YouTube channel under the playlist of Cybersecurity Matters, or you can listen to us anywhere you normally listen to your podcasts. And we look forward to seeing you next week.